Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you know this, some of you maybe don't, but I'm not that good at directions. Even before the days, you're laughing, you know, I've shown up at the wrong place because I didn't know how to get there. Even before the days of GPS, I would go and print out the directions to a place on MapQuest. But the problem with MapQuest is they'd say, okay, at this intersection, go east. Is that right or left? You know, oh yeah, go west at this. Again, is that right or left? I don't know. Needless to say, I'm pretty reliant on my GPS, and it's so handy because now they're on our phones, and we all have our phones with us basically all of the time. And so I have a couple of jokes about GPSs for you. These are cheesy but clever. I wish I'd thought of them. I just bought a U2 GPS system for my car, but it's useless. The streets have no name, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. How is an easily offended person like a broken GPS? They always take things the wrong way. I just bought the new Fleetwood Mac GPS system, but it's utter rubbish. It just says, you can go your own way. You can go your own way. Oh, GPS systems truly are a modern day convenience, and I'd be lost without mine, certainly. In today's gospel lesson, we hear the last scene, the final act, the culmination of the Christmas story. The wise men, who were likely more magi or astrologers, were led to Jesus, but not by MapQuest or a smartphone, a GPS, or even a map. They were led to Jesus by a star. With great hope and even excitement, they set out on what would have been an incredibly long an arduous journey. Since they were seeking a king, they originally traveled to Jerusalem, where a king should have been found. But upon meeting a fearful and deceptive King Herod, their route was recalculated, but again, not by a GPS, but by prophecy. The star given to them by God led them to Bethlehem, and that same star identified Jesus as the Messiah, the king that they were looking for. And scripture tells us that when they saw where the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with great joy. Those magi, when they saw the Christ child, they bowed down and worshiped him, and presented him with gifts fit for a king. This is the story that we remember and retell and celebrate on Epiphany. Epiphany, which means God revealing God's very self in Jesus Christ to all the world, to all the nations, to all people. In Christ, God has come to us. God was born among us and born to be one with us. God's very presence took on earthly and human form in the Christ child. And in the coming weeks, in the season after Epiphany, we will continue to hear in the gospel stories how God revealed and continues to reveal God's self in Jesus through his words and his actions. One of the most astounding parts of the Christmas story is that God showed up in ordinary and unexpected places to ordinary and unexpected people. And for the original hearers of Matthew's gospel, God revealing God's self to the Magi would have been more than unexpected. In fact, they would have been puzzled, probably disappointed, and maybe even frustrated that God revealed God's self to the Magi. You see, Matthew's gospel was written to Jewish Christians to help them understand that in Christ, God fulfilled God's promises to Israel. Matthew situates Jesus in Israel's history, in the line of David. And then God reveals God's self to the Magi. For the original hearers, the Magi would have been on the far end of the spectrum of Gentiles. They were astrologers, which is now what someone might call someone who reads horoscopes. This profession, these practices, were against Jewish law. So not only were the Magi foreigners, not only were they Gentiles, they were pagans. Their beliefs and their practices were forbidden by God. They were as Gentile as you could get. They couldn't be any more of an outsider if they tried. Why? Why would God reveal God's self to these people? Why would the star guide these people to the Christ child? Because the star and the Magi's journey revealed and continues to reveal that God in Christ Jesus has come for all people. The promise that God made to Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him is fulfilled in Jesus. Yes, Christ came for the Jews, and he was a faithful and devout Jew. But Christ came for the Jews to be for the whole world, the whole created order, everything that exists. And that includes Gentiles. And it includes all of us, because we are all Gentiles ourselves. Gentiles are anyone who is not Jewish. So God came for us too. God came for all people, all nations, no exceptions, no restrictions, no conditions. And it's this message that the Apostle Paul was called to live and proclaim. He understood his call to be making people see that the mystery hidden for ages was that God in Christ was for all people, that the Gentiles were members of the same body, and that they too were partakers of the gospel of Christ. Throughout his ministry, Paul boldly proclaimed that in Christ, God was uniting all people. And Paul boldly proclaimed that that included Gentiles. This was a radical and challenging shift for the people of God. You see, the people of God are called to steward God's grace, but far too often we want to monopolize God's grace. From its birth, the church has put up walls to separate insiders from outsiders. In every generation, we can see how the church has done this and how they have decided who the outsiders are and who the insiders are. But Scripture and the Apostle Paul make it very clear that human distinctions don't exist in the body of Christ. There is no us versus them in Christ, because any human distinction that we can even come up with, whether it's based on race or culture or gender or age or sexual orientation or gender identity or ability or appearance or citizenship or socioeconomic status, anything we can come up with doesn't exist in God's love and grace. Because nothing can exclude anyone from God's love and grace and mercy. And none of these things should be allowed to exclude anyone from God's church either. The inclusion of Gentiles, of outsiders, among God's people is what we celebrate today on this feast of Epiphany. And this inclusion, this welcoming of all people into God's community, is not our doing, it's the work of God. And God calls and invites all of us to join in that work, to join in the mission of Christian unity. I read this week that submissions to God's gift of light carries the call to accept and proclaim the inclusion of outsiders in this mystery. The call for all of us in Epiphany is to go out into the world as the body of Christ, carrying the light of Christ to a sinful and broken and divided world. Think about it. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son so that the world might be saved through him. God so loved the whole world, the entire created order, that God became human and revealed God's self to outsiders so that there wouldn't be even one person who was outside the realm of God's love and care. Brothers and sisters, God's desire to unite all of God's people in Christ continues to be made known in and through us. We ourselves, who were once outsiders, are called, just like the Apostle Paul, to make known the boundless riches of God in Christ that are for all people. May it be so, to the glory of God, the one who has come to make us one in Christ. Amen.